One day in the catechism class, in the CCD class, the teaching was about the prodigal son story. And so the teacher asked the kids, who was happy when the prodigal son returned? And of course, the child answers, it was the father. And of course, that was the correct answer. And then the teacher says, and who was unhappy when the prodigal son returned? And the little kid said, it was the fatted calf. So today we have the amazing story of the prodigal son. In fact, today Jesus gives us three stories of the lost being found. One is about the lost sheep, the second is about the lost coin, and the third is about the lost son. With the lost sheep, 1 out of 100 are lost. With the lost coins, 1 out of 10 are lost. With the lost sons, 1 out of 2 are lost. So we have this amazing parable today. It's been called the parable of the prodigal son, which means the wasteful son because he wasted his inheritance. It's called the parable of the unforgiving brother or the resentful brother. But it's also called the parable of the merciful father because he is the true hero of the story. And the Lord taught us this story to give us a glimpse, a little window into seeing what God the Father is like, to really have a glimpse of the mercy and love of our Heavenly Father. In the first parable, the Lord says a man had 100 sheep. One of them went astray. And so the good shepherd goes and he finds that lost sheep and places it on his shoulders and brings it back. And the great joy that he has of finding the lost sheep. And Jesus said, I assure you, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 self-righteous people who do not repent. So amazing, think about that. There is joy in heaven every time somebody goes to confession. There's joy in heaven every time somebody gets baptized and has a conversion experience. There's great joy in heaven over even one sinner who repents. Then the second parable of the 10 coins. In those days, women would often receive a necklace or a headband with the 10 coins as a wedding gift. So to lose one of the coins would be like losing a diamond from a wedding ring or from an engagement ring. And so she searched the house and she found it. She called in her friends and said, rejoice, I have found my lost coin. And again, Jesus says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And then the Lord gives his third and final parable today. And that is the famous story of the man who had 2 sons. Of course, the older son represents the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones that are very upset because they see the younger son, who represents the tax collectors and sinners that are eating with the Lord. So the Pharisees are very upset and resentful with Jesus for being so merciful and forgiving towards these tax collectors and sinners. So again, the younger son represents the tax collectors and sinners, the older son, the Pharisees. The younger son says to his father, give me my share of the inheritance. Bishop Sheen says we always get into trouble if we have the words give me in our vocabulary. Right? If we're selfish or self-centered or filled with, let's say, greed or avarice, if we're always saying give me, we get into trouble. So the young boy says, give me my share of the estate. I don't want to have to wait till you're dead and inherit your will. I want it right now. So the father divides up the property and gives it to the younger son. It says he goes off to a distant land and he squanders his whole inheritance, all the money, on a life of dissolute living, of dissipation and sin. He eventually becomes the slave of sin. But then a famine strikes the country. The economy turns bad. And he loses everything. He has to hire himself out as a servant. And he goes out to work on a local farm. to take care of the pigs, the swine. Now, that's one of the lowest jobs imaginable, especially for a Jewish young man, because they would not even eat pork, let alone, take care of the swine. So it was the worst job imaginable. He was so hungry that he saw the food that the pigs were eating, and it looked good to him. He said, if I could only fill my stomach with what the pigs are eating. So he was at rock bottom. He hit the lowest of the low. And he says he came to his senses. So he experienced suffering. And as C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us through our prayers, but he shouts to us in our sufferings. It's the wake-up call that God gives us to convert, to turn our life over to God. So this young man hits rock bottom. He loses everything. And what does he say? He comes to his senses, says, I will arise and go to my father. And he realizes that if he goes home, he doesn't expect to go back as a son. He'll just go back and maybe be a servant. And maybe his father will accept him as a slave or a servant in the home. And so he goes back. And then it says, he was still a long way off, and the father was looking for him. He was probably praying for him. And he caught sight of him, and he was filled with mercy and compassion. And he does something which fathers in those days would never do. He runs out to meet his son. He embraces him and covers him with kisses. And the young son makes his confession. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Immediately, the merciful father forgives him. He puts the finest robe upon him. He restores his dignity. He covers his nakedness. He restores his honor. He puts a ring on his finger. He restores his sonship as a member of the family. He puts sandals on his feet. Again, he would not be a slave, but he would be his own child again. And he kills the fatted calf, something that they've been saving for a special occasion. And they had a big party, a big celebration. Of course, the older son is out working in the field, and he hears about this, and he won't go into the house. He's so angry and resentful that the father had been merciful towards his younger brother. So again, the merciful father goes out after him. He goes outside, and he tries to convince him, we have to rejoice because your brother was dead in mortal sin. And now he is alive in God's grace. He was lost and has been found. So we see this amazing parable, and really, it shows us the steps of making a good confession. First, we have to come to our senses. We have to examine our conscience and look over the Ten Commandments, examine our conscience. We then arise and go to our Father, our spiritual fathers, in the confessional. We then repent, and we make a confession. We say we've sinned against heaven and against earth. We don't deserve to be called God's children. And yet, what does the Lord do for us in confession? He robes us with the robe of sanctifying grace. He puts a ring on our finger. He restores our dignity, our sonship. We become sons and daughters of God again. He reconciles us. So we make our confession. This young man had a firm purpose of amendment. He was willing to do his penance. He was willing to become a servant if that was what he had to do. So he goes through the necessary steps of making a beautiful confession. And what a great event this is. The angels of heaven will rejoice. And so when we go to confession too, after 5, 10, 20, 40, 50 years, we then make the angels and the saints happy in heaven. And our merciful Father welcomes us back. He restores our dignity. He forgives our sins. And then he throws us a big party. He then has a celebration for us, which we call the banquet of eternal life, the Holy Eucharist. So once we have cleansed our souls in confession, then we also get to participate in the heavenly feast, which is the banquet of the Holy Eucharist.